Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Travis, Nick, two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the Big Friday Show. It's an FEI Friday, and we have continually delivered for you. There is a search out there now that Nick has his second of his most creative doings in getting a Twitter name. Now that there is a surging push, Nicholas, to find the appropriate name for the Kevin McHale segments weekly.
Yeah, I saw that you were interacting with people on Twitter about it. I think it's a good
idea. Lauren Pope said that we have to figure it out. And this goes right down the lines of producer extraordinaire Nick Sharara trying to make our show better. And in one of the things we've said is we need to have, what is it, Nick? It's not a hook. It's a bridge. We need segments creatively named and benchmarks and bridges and of course then the themed days and themed segments. So with all of that, because we've told you this from the start, we're building from scratch and we're building the show and we want you to be a part of it. You've been a part of it every single day, so why not help out? So if you got names what you think that we should call the Kevin McHale segments on the show, please let me know. I think it's great. All right, so we got into talking about John Lynch, and Trav, you were pretty passionate about the fact that you think an ex-player like John Lynch is going to be a good general manager, and he deserves to get the opportunity, and more players should. This spins me into a team that you're very familiar with, the Los Angeles Lakers. The fact that Magic Johnson is now back in the fold kind of gets into more of what Jeannie Buss was kind of hinting at a few months ago when she said, look, I know it's my brother running the basketball side of the franchise, but it's also starting to show more and more how the Lakers have made so many bad moves. Magic is not going to hold back now that he is in a position to have a say-so. He's come out and said, not only do I want to be a consultant on the basketball side, I want to be a consultant on the business side. Everybody knows he's a phenomenal businessman. If you haven't seen the Magic Johnson theaters and all the different things that Magic has gotten involved in, you just don't know what a great businessman he is. But he didn't hold back when he said, eventually, I want to get to the point where I call the shots. Because that's when he believes the Lakers will truly be what the Lakers used to be when he was the point guard running the show. Showtime is when the Magic Man calls the shots in his mind. I don't disagree at all. And for as intelligent as Jeannie Buss has been running the business side over the years, her brother has been the complete opposite.
No question.
Mitch Kupchak has been involved because of the fact that he actually worked under Jerry West, one of the better general managers of his generation, of his time, maybe in the league history.
Yeah, no question.
But he can't get it all done on his own because the inevitable voice that will be heard to make the final call is a Buss family member in Johnny Buss. And I'm telling you right now, I've just never trusted him, and I just don't think he's made good moves. And no. So this is like, you know what, Nick? You said the Knicks arguably were the biggest mess in sports.
I mean, front office-wise, I feel
I don't
like
disagree, but I'd say this. The Lakers have made some decent draft picks in the last couple of years. It's been kind of made for them because of how high they've been. But overall, I'd say the Lakers are like running real close to the Knicks in terms of all the mistakes they've made and how bad they've been.
And it's crazy because I would argue, 4 years ago, it was like, if you told me the Lakers are not making a playoffs, I would have probably laughed at your face, no matter what kind of roster that they had, because it was just so surreal for them to miss the playoffs. And now, 4 years later, we're talking, man, the Lakers are just maybe a year away from being a complete cluster in the front office. And it's unfortunate. Hopefully, Magic Johnson, I feel like he has a way with players, and there's so much respect given to Magic Johnson around the league that it might work. It might help. Personality does a lot. It's not always knowledge. I think personality has a lot to do with it.
I would say it will help, but the only way it won't is if the Buss family decides to pull the reins back on Magic. Because, look, from a business perspective, from a basketball perspective, like Travis was saying with John Lynch. Talk about a guy that was a coach on the floor, that knows the game, that knows personnel. He even still goes to all the Michigan State games, the Final Fours. He watches college talent. Then he's an analyst in the studio, so he's constantly breaking down basketball. You want to make sure that this return to greatness, happenance, and prominence for a very storied franchise. Take two of the most storied franchises in the history of sport and look at them now and say you could fertilize a lawn with them. That's how crappy they've been. All right? They're like manure. They're all over the place, and all you can do is spread and hope for growth. But at the same time, if you want to bring them back, first step in doing that from a Lakers perspective is let a real, true basketball champion and business champion take over. Phil Jackson hasn't been able to do that. And that says more about Phil Jackson as a businessman, as a guy that can analyze talent, as opposed to a guy that just found the right situations to coach at the right time. It was the biggest argument that Red Auerbach had over the years. We had Kevin McHale talk about it one time. He just kept continually walking into situations that were tailor-made for a guy to just finish the deal, whereas Auerbach built the organization, nurtured the players, and was personally responsible for the championships.
Yeah. Hey, not to cut you off or change the subject.
But you did.
My wife said Kevin's Corner should be the name of McHale's
not
segment.
Bad.
It's not a bad name at all.
The older people will remember a TV show back in the day called McHale's Navy.
I used
to use that one on air a lot, yeah. McHale's Navy.
But she says she liked that Kevin's Corner with two Ks, so KK. Yeah.
You just don't add a third one, or we're going to be talking about a lot of things politically we don't want to talk about, just saying. So, all right, you can also chime in if you want to get in on this name game, trying to figure out a name for the McHale segment, which is definitely going to be weekly, as it always has
been.
But go
back to what you were just saying before I cut you off and change the subject. But, you know, about...
Did you need me to reset the deck for you? Can you remember it?
No, I remember what you're saying. I mean, I totally understand.
You grew up with the Lakers. Yeah, you knew how good they were.
How good they were,
no
question.
I'll tell you what, I think he's learned. I think Magic has learned. Because you remember when he had that struggle to get back into the league.
Yeah.
And then when he finally got back in the league, I guess he wanted to be the man like he was back in the day. And it just kind of backfired. And I think he learned from that situation.
Well, I think he's learned a lot. I mean, Magic, the businessman of Magic has changed over the years. I think when you look at Magic when he was the head coach of the Lakers at one point.
I remember it. I was going to talk about it. Yeah,
that was after, you know, that was after his dismal late night show Showtime. It was
that was a bad show. By
yeah,
the way.
It was after he had made his comeback. You know, on the floor from being a player after he came back from out of retirement. And you know what? At the time when Magic came back, he was still good. Just everybody else around him was just so enamored with Magic. Mm-hmm. Nobody else played. I think now when you look at his business savvy, and Magic has gone now and said, you know what? I bought part of Starbucks,
yep.
The corporation, enough to where now I have my own set of Starbucks.
Yep.
I
mentioned the
got
theaters.
I got Fat Burgers. I have Magic Johnson Theaters. I got Magic Johnson 24-Hour Fitnesses. I have this whole array of his portfolio itself of the Magic Johnson Enterprises and what it is. I think it's prepared him now to not only know as Magic, I don't have all the answers. I can hire enough people and I can have enough people and get them to think like me, but bring in enough guys. And I think that's the beauty of having a guy like Magic. Mm-hmm. Because now you look at a guy and say, you know what? Knicks don't want Charles Oakley. Well, I want Charles Oakley. Because guess what? I know what Charles Oakley can do for me. I know how he knows how to spot talent. Just about us sitting around having conversations.
Biggest thing that you can tell people know talent, it's not identifying who the next superstar is going to be. Anyone can do
it's,
that.
It's identifying
it's the
role
players and the right fits for your team. Yeah. That's why I wanted to bring it up with McHale. I didn't. We need to do it next week because of the fact that the other thing you mentioned is such a valuable thing that people don't realize. With the difference in generations... And, Nick, you mentioned when Magic wanted to get back in and realized how hard it can be. Those guys believed, like the previous generation, with the Charles Barkleys and Magic Johnsons, that the guys that paved the road for them to get there and have an easier life were guys that were heroes that exactly. should be recognized. Last night on TNT, Kevin Garnett said Spencer Haywood was in the studio, said, the first time I didn't know who Spencer Haywood was, he lit me up. Because that's the thing, or Shaq said it, because of the fact that they paved the way for guys to be where they are.
No question.
The biggest problem that Magic found out when he went to coach, that McHale has found out through the years is, players don't have that same respect for the Hall of Famers.
They don't have that same respect. They don't know. You know what? And you've noticed that when a Hall of Famer, even though LeBron, like, in my opinion, you can feel salty, but you got to respect what that man said when Charles said what he said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, it showed the lack of respect when you didn't address what Charles said to you.
You went below the belt and went personal. Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
And the thing is, it's nothing that Charles ever hid from the public. Everybody knows Charles got pulled over getting
People don't realize he was innocent and throwing the guy through the window, too.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that to me was the disrespect. I think, you know, even when as much as Sapp sometimes annoys me as being like a big brother,
yeah,
I still respect everything he said, like he would say to me, just because it's Sapp. So no matter what he's been through personally, as a man and as a player, I have to respect what he said.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we got much more show to go. We got a break real quick. We're going to come back with much more. We can continue on that topic and talk about things you want to talk about. 713-780-ESPN for texts and phone calls. Hit us up on Twitter. In the meantime, we are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Wow, fellas. We have roughly 40 minutes to go on the show, and there's so many things that I want to get to. And, you know, the thing that we were just talking about in the break, and Nick, I don't know how much you know about this, but I'm learning more and more about some of the idiosyncrasies and details of scholarships in college athletics. And what Travis was just telling me about scholarships, and you know, and I've heard people say recently, you've never worked as hard in your life as you've worked when you got a full-time scholarship these days, because of the fact that they got you, and basically it's like a full-time job for 50 to 60 hours a week, from working out to studying to practicing to doing all these things. But the fact that I don't think people out there realize, Trap, that you and I were talking about,
yeah,
they can take that bad boy away from
it's,
you.
It's a one-year contract.
And every year you signed a one-year contract at Florida State.
Every year you re-signed your scholarship. So every scholarship is paid for by a booster. And every year, whoever's paying that scholarship, they send it to the financial department, and they do a big old team meeting, like, guys, we need you to sign your scholarship paperwork. And you sit there and you get to re-sign it every single year. Every year you sign new grant and aid. Every year you sign your scholarship papers. Every single year. It was a year-to-year basis. Now, NCAA, what they're doing is they're guaranteeing the 4 years. Because what they were able to do before was, if you didn't perform, they could get rid of you. Or if you didn't, it was easier if they didn't perform in the classroom. But regardless, I mean, instead of being, like, I know at one point when Florida State started losing, to take everybody's scholarships away, they start drug testing them. Well, now we're going to kick you out of school for failing a drug test. And it's not going to cost us anything anyway, because we're just not renewing your scholarship.
So the thing I'm not following was, because I never heard this either, the booster aspect of it.
So every scholarship, like, you, if you donate a scholarship or donate a certain amount of money to the school.
I was going
to
say, I know y'all got
it's
a
like
endow,
it's like endowment. It's like endowment. Like, if you donate an endowed scholarship, you just guaranteed every year that you paying this amount of money for somebody to go to school. So every year, everybody gets a new one.
So-and-so memorial scholarship.
It might be the Joe Blank endowed scholarship. You see what I'm saying? Or the Blank family endowment. You know what I mean? And that's what pays for my schooling. So a lot of times when we used to have meetings and stuff like that, or we used to have banquets, we would sit with the family of the people who endowed our scholarships.
Very cool.
You know what I mean? But it was a year-to-year basis. I remember for a while, I mean, we was kicking guys out, or you were medically, you know.
Because that gives so much more bargaining power to the university to basically treat it like a business, to where you can hold things over the guy's head.
Oh, everything. I mean, you can lose your scholarship for anything. You see now, like, look at the kid that was crying on signing day. And everybody says, well, what happened? This guy was a big five-star guy before the year. He didn't really develop this last year as much as they probably would have liked to. And he was going to sign with Alabama. Well, he trying to string him along. When he goes to sign, Alabama calls and says, we don't have enough scholarships for you on signing day. So now he has the gray shirt and come in next year. And it ain't even guaranteed for the next year if he'll have a scholarship after he plays a year. If he doesn't get any better, they're going to be like, they're going to tap him on that shoulder. Just like they tell you, just like they tap you on the shoulder on Sunday and say, hey, you're down today. We're going to go with a different lineup. The same way they'll tap you on the shoulder and say, we advise you to find a new school. It's a guy I was training. Matter of fact, Greg Jones, who played fullback here. So Greg Jones' nephew, I was training his nephew from the time he was like an eighth grader. And I always told him he should have been an offensive lineman. I mean, he's a big body. He didn't really move well, but he's a big and strong kid. Well, he went to NC State, got a scholarship to NC State, which I was very proud of him for. And I told him he should have went to Duke. He didn't want to listen to him. I said, go to Duke. Because I said, Duke, you'll keep your scholarship as long as you're in great standing with the university and doing your classwork. I said, NC State is a school that's trying to get better every year. So if you don't get any better, they're going to force you out and tell you we're not going to renew your scholarship next year, so we advise you to find a new place to go to school. Well, now he's at Savannah State.
Ugh.
You see what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Because it was like he wasn't getting any better. They moved him to the offensive line, and he still didn't because he was so new. So now all of a sudden it goes from we ain't got room for you.
Now, is he on scholarship at Savannah
State?
He's
on scholarship at Savannah State because they were happy to get a guy from North Carolina State.
A D1 talent, right.
A D1 talent. But at the same time, if you go to programs like Duke, Duke doesn't do that as much because they're caring about the actual
well, that's
schooling.
A hell of an – for an education, that's a hell of an education to
exactly.
Get.
So, you know, they care more about the schooling than anything else. And that's what I told him. I said, man, you're a smart kid. You got a good test score. Go to Duke. I understand you want to play big-time college football. Duke plays against enough big schools for if you get good enough, they'll see you. You know, you look at Tomlinson, who was
TCU.
The Tomlinson that's they just came out of Duke. He was a first round draft pick by I want to say the Giants or one of them schools like that. I mean, one of them teams like that out of Duke. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys that went to Duke and was able to prevail out of Duke and be seen. I said the same thing, but guess what? Even if he wasn't the guy, he still would have had a great education. And that's all you really want to look at.
But you're saying that's the reason why the kid from here, the offensive lineman, took Stanford.
That's why, Walker Little. I mean, he wanted to go to Florida State. His mama wanted him to go to Stanford. It's hard. You know, looking back, I had an opportunity to go to Stanford, but I wasn't trying to go to Stanford University. I wanted to go play big-time football. And I mean, Tyrone Willingham was there, and he was doing what he was doing. But, I mean.
Lake and Tomlinson from the Lions, by the way.
Exactly, for the Lions. There you go. Yeah. So he was a first round pick for the Lions. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just looking back on it, you'd say, if I knew what I knew now, maybe I go to Stanford. Maybe I go to Michigan. Maybe I go to Cal Berkeley.
Those are unbelievable schools of higher learning and education.
You see what I'm saying? Because at being a grown up, you say, well, shoot, I still would have made it regardless because I was good enough.
Well, don't you think because of the fact that TV has become such a prominent force in the scouting that people do and the attention that players get, it's a lot different than back in the day, maybe even back in your day.
Oh, no question.
That's why you went to a prominent program, because you were going to get so much more exposure. Nowadays, because there's football every night of the week,
doesn't matter.
If you want to see a game, you're going to see and notice talent.
No question. And it wasn't like that when I was coming. And it was almost – but it wasn't to the point where everybody was on TV. At Florida State, we were on TV every Saturday. We're on TV. Except for when we played Duke, we were on TV every Saturday.
And I'm saying, I mean, it used to be I would struggle to find a Badger game on TV or maybe one or two a scheduled year.
Now you see
watch
seven, eight, nine
on the Big
them.
Ten Network, and between that and national TV and ESPN, ABC, I see them every week.
Exactly.
It's phenomenal. So that's something that I guess if you didn't know that much about college athletics, you're finding out. Doc, we see you. We're going to get you in here next. Got a little bit of a discussion going on with a guy that knows a whole lot about college, pro, and the process that goes along with both. We are ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
JB, Trap J, Quick Nick, half hour to go on the show. Seems like we got one going now. We had a lot of good segments and a lot of good topics, and we had Coach McHale on. If you missed him, hit the podcast. He had some great things to say, including the guy that he'd like to punch in the face. so much so that he put him at 1, 2, and 3 in his top three. So you can find that on the website and on the podcast. Right now, Doc wants to get in here talking about scholarships and stories about them. Travis was sharing it before the break. What's up, Doc?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
What up, Doc? What up, Doc? Cherry Rock? Go ahead. My bad.
Not a whole lot. Man, I was listening to Travis, and he was talking about scholarships, and, you know, and it's so different from when I'm 51 years old, so it's so different from when I was in school until my son was in school. And what I mean by this is that it was known that, you know, your scholarship wasn't, you know, it was renewable in 1 year increments. But, you know, once you signed a scholarship, usually that coach honored that scholarship for 4 years. It was no problem. Well, for instance, when my son signed, my wife, she didn't know that, it was one year renewables and things like that. Well, when my son was signing his letter of intent, and I don't know if y'all kind of remember this, Tom Penders was hired at U of H maybe 4 years. My son signed in 2011. Okay. But Tom Penders, about 4 years before my son signed, Tom Penders was hired by U of H.
Yep.
Well, it was a couple of kids that would come in my gym that was playing with U of H at that time. But one of the kids, he got hurt. He had a knee injury. But before Tom Penders had signed, he sat out that year with a knee injury, but then he's coming back to play his senior year, and Tom Penders didn't renew. It was like four, maybe five of those kids scholarships. So what I'm trying to say is, to make a long story short, is I always remembered that, and when it came time to recruit my kid, I wasn't thinking close to U of H because of what he did to those kids.
Did you ask him? Is my son have a 4 year scholarship, or is this a 1 year renewable?
No. They say they say 4 year scholarships, but they actually.
I know they're all 1 year renewable, but I'm saying a lot of times now what people are doing is making sure, like, their parents are asking that, because now that they know. Their parents are asking, "Hey, is my son's scholarship year to year? One year renewable, or are you guaranteeing my child this 4 years?" So, you know, like Florida State now is saying, "Ma'am, sir, we guarantee the 4 years. If he gets hurt, we'll find him a way. We'll pay for school on another end. If he's not good enough and we need the scholarship, we'll pay for the school on another end."
Right, What I'm finding out in LSU, and when LSU came to recruit my son, I didn't want him going to LSU just because of the football. Even though my kid was a basketball player, Les Miles back then, he was recruiting 30 kids, but only signing 15. You know, and I don't know if you.
You got to recruit them. You got to recruit that many kids
because you're going to lose some.
Because you're going to lose some. No. You can't recruit. The thing is about recruiting is every kid you recruit ain't finna come in. So you can't just recruit. It's not like basketball. It's not like basketball where you got to pick a set of 10 kids. I forgot what the rule is now. Well, you basically got to pinpoint your guys. And you bet those better be your guys, because you can't recruit over a certain amount of guys. Now in NCAA, huh?
He would recruit 30, but he would only have 15 scholarships.
Yeah, but that's what you tell him. You would recruit 30, you wouldn't offer 30 scholarships. You offer 15. And if one decide they don't want to come, then you still got those other that you're recruiting on the back end. And offer them late and say, you know what, this guy pulled out. Here, now I'm going to offer you a scholarship. You don't tell the kid that, but you drag them along, and then you offer them late. That's just part of the recruiting world. It's recruiting. It's like I told you. I've told you the story before, right? Coach Bowden used to have a joke. Coach Bowden used to have a joke say, I asked the guy, he said, man, I'm sitting in heaven, and I'm sitting by the Lord, and they asked him, say, the guy died and said, you want to go to heaven, you want to go to hell? And, Doc, we appreciate your call, man. Thank you. So Coach Bowden asked the guy, you want to go to heaven, you want to go to hell? And the guy goes, I don't know. And he said, let me go check and see which one is better. And so he goes down to hell, and his pretty girls everywhere. You start as a freshman, They're butt naked on a recruiting visit. They're giving you free food. They're giving you everything you want on your recruiting while you're there. And he says, well, let me go see heaven. And he gets up to heaven and said, and everybody's playing equal amount of time. You really don't play until your senior year. There's no naked women for you. And the guy goes, man, I want to go to hell. I'm going to go by and I want to go to hell. Send me to hell. And all of a sudden he gets down there, this hellfire and brimstone. He's sitting on the end of the bench and he goes, devil, why you send me to hell? He said, man, you was on your recruiting visit. He asked, what happened to all the naked women? Started as a freshman. He said, that was just recruiting, bro. Same thing. You know what I mean? Like,
that is crazy. I never knew that.
Yeah, but that's how Coach Bodie used to tell that story every time. And of course, he tells the story a lot better than I do. But he used to use heaven and hell because it's as a sane thinking individual, that's the easiest way to think of it. How you believe, nobody wants to go to hell, right?
Yeah, right.
But yet, if they sell it to you enough, and they tell you it's cool down there, it's a nice beach, it's nice women. You get to start as a freshman. You get to come in here and you can do whatever you want to do.
Parties like this every weekend.
Women
easy to get.
And then all of a sudden you go to heaven, you be like, man, dang, man, it's a lot of talent up here. But
Nick was contemplating hell until you told him that.
These guys are working hard and I don't know, man.
Nick was like, all these chicks in the beach?
And then you say you want to go to hell and all of a sudden they tell you, man, you ain't, that was your recruiting visit. You better get in line. That's how it is, man. Yeah. And I guess Doc just didn't understand. Even though they only got 15 scholarships, they still got to recruit 30, 40 kids.
Well, the other thing that you said makes a lot of sense, too, but it's not what people want to hear, which is the Alabamas of the world are going to recruit and get as many people on the hook as they can. But at the end of the day, they're going to be real harsh when they decide that, yeah, you guys all want to play for Alabama and we talk to you, but we don't want you as much as we want another guy that's better than you in our mind. And then they leave them hanging at the last minute. And they've told everybody else no.
Well, that's the deal with these kids, though. And that's the problem with these kids. See, back when I was, if you're not a top five at your position, you ain't supposed to be holding out on nothing. Like, you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to find you somebody, commit to them.
You're saying top five in the country.
Yeah, exactly. At your position in the country, you know what I mean? You're not, because I know for me, I was able to make my announcement on signing day. You know what I mean? And just like DJ Williams. Able to make his announcement on signing day. You know, because you get guys that say, I'm going to wait for these guys. But yet, the guys who sent me my letters of intent, UCLA, USC, Michigan, Florida State, Tennessee, Cal Berkeley, you know what I mean? Those are the schools that sent
Do better next time. Schools suck.
But those are the schools that sent me my letter of intent, just hoping on, like, hey, when 3 o'clock hits and Travis makes his announcement, then we'll know if we have an extra scholarship left. So basically, like, we'll know if he doesn't sign with us, now we got to find another guy to replace this scholarship. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
But it's crazy. I remember, like, even you look at a guy like Deshaun Foster, was one of the top running backs in the country coming out, played up for Carolina at the time. He's now the running back coach at UCLA. Well, Smoke is his nickname. Yeah, Smoke is his nickname because he's blacker than the keyboards. You know what I mean? So we call him Smoke.
All right.
So Smoke was really like the top 3 running back in the country, but UCLA hadn't offered him because they offered Justin Fargus in the same class. So they were looking like if Fargus decides to come to UCLA, then we don't have a scholarship for you. Well, everybody else had already offered him. Well, Deshaun waited, and when Farg picked Michigan, Deshaun signed with UCLA. It's just how it happens. You know what I mean?
But doesn't that piss you off if you think, hey, this is where I want to go? But
here's the thing. You know, I'm good. I'm real good. But this, you still at some point, you got to know this is the man. Fargus at the time was the gold standard.
See, I don't understand. Fargus was the man you're saying back then. But look at the two careers. Fargus never did anything in the NFL.
Foster
was a stud.
Both of them rushed had one 1,000-yard season. Fargus, you got to also remember, when he was in college, Fargus also mangled his leg at Michigan. And that's how he ended up going to USC a few years later.
I was
going to
say, because he played at both.
Yeah, because he mangled his leg. His foot was turned around. Matter of fact, playing Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
At Wisconsin. What was it, Rocky? What was y'all linebacker name?
Which one?
Back in late 90s, 1999. I'll remember his name in a minute. Well, he ended up breaking his leg. Deshaun never got hurt. And, I mean, that's basically how it ended up was Favre ended up playing after Deshaun because he never got hurt.
Crazy. All right, we got much more show to get to. Right now I want to tell you about Sherry's Berries. I got a great story for you, and it's the people from Get Me, the guys that drove us all around during Super Bowl week to make sure we got to our appearances in Radio
awesome
Row
place.
And the parties. Phenomenal guys. Mike at Get Me tells me just today how great Sherry's Berries are because of the fact that he was looking to set up his girl with a great deal, and because he was so busy last week, he had forgotten that he needed to get something for Valentine's Day. He called me. I told him about the deal. He got to the website, he placed the order, and he got the deal with the flowers and the berries, and he said he's a hero with his girl. Because it's just the right thing to do. And it takes all of the worry, the doubt, the rush, the order, you know, getting it right out of the equation. It's one call. It's not one call. It's one click on your internet, one visit to one website. You're done. You look like a hero, and we give you a special deal if you do the deal that I'm telling you about right now. Mike swears by it. And you should swear by it, too. It's a phenomenal deal, guys. If you forgot about Valentine's Day and you get so much going on, but you want to do the right thing for the love of your life, this is what you do. Freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at just $19.99. And you can double the berries right now for just $10 more. All you got to do is use my code. Get on the website, top right-hand corner, click the microphone. You put in Jay Blank like Mike did. And boom, just like that, you get the deal that makes you look like a hero. These berries are dipped in white chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate. They are phenomenal just like that. But they have chocolate chips, swizzles, chopped nuts. And you get to tell them what kind of order you want. They'll take care of it. You want to send it to her work? Gotcha. You want to send it to the house? Gotcha there too. Want to send it somewhere else? They'll take care of it with a special card from you with your words on it as part of the gift box. It's phenomenal. It's a gift box. It's more. And these berries are fresh. They're juicy. They're large. And they are going to stay and act the way they're supposed to for several days. My wife likes to keep them in the refrigerator because the chocolate has a little bit of a crisp to it, but the berries stay fresh. They taste so great, and you can keep them the rest of the week. I'm telling you what, if you want the right gift for Valentine's Day, it's Sherry's Berries. Berries.com, 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 top right hand of the top right hand corner. Click the mic, put in Jay Blank, order now.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
JB, Trap J, and Quick Nick till 4 o'clock as we continue to put the wraps on what has been a FYF Friday in so many ways. Good show and really interesting dialogue. We don't sit there trying to screw around with
old text messages.
And who likes us. I mean, I'm so tired of hearing, and you and I have had this conversation off the air, you never should draw attention to the fact that you have to go out and say, black guys like me, white guys like me. You know what? I hope everybody likes me. But if they don't, you know, you get over it. But you and I have had this conversation. I mean,
we said black guys. Who said black guys like? That's
the thing is, if people like you, you know it without having to promote it.
I would say, yeah, black guys like me. White guys, I mean.
But you do tend to hear a lot of people that are like, yeah, I get along with all black people. Like, they give themselves the self-approval.
Come on, I've been in the gym with a black guy.
But that's the guy who has all them racist thoughts or swear they down for the cause and be like, yeah, black guys love me. Like, what?
It didn't make me think of it.
You sound like a fool. Like, it's like, oh, all my best friends are black.
I hate hearing everybody have to say that. It's just dysfunctionally stupid.
If you got to say that, we don't like you.
Yeah, I totally agree. I didn't expect you would, because if you have to say, then I mean, if it's true, you don't have to say.
You don't have to say
exactly. That's exactly my point. That is exactly the point I have. So the fact of the matter is, you know what?
Who said it?
We can sit there and do things about, you know, we can do shticks and we can do, hey, you know, this routine or this. And Nick, you and I have even talked about spicing it up by doing some more fun things. But at the same time, at the end of the day, this is still a sports show. And we try to get down to the crux of sports issues and interesting things that might make you scratch your temple a little bit and say, like this scholarship issue. And a lot of people out there didn't realize you could lose a scholarship from year to year. You're not just, once you sign, you're not just guaranteed a four-year education and to be, play sports and to do all those things. Those are things that I think make people intrigued and interested, stay with us, and then also realize they've learned something during the course of the day. One of the things I wanted to get your comments on, Travis, before we get for the weekend, because we haven't had you all week, during the course of all this with the Falcons and with Shanahan leaving, one of the things that people didn't pay enough attention to was Steve Sarkisian, who you had kind of highlighted, was waiting in the wings. We had talked about several times that Alabama likes to take really good coaches and put them almost like an actual depth chart behind the guys that currently have the job. So when someone leaves, you replace them.
Yes.
Well, you knew Sark. You know of Sark. Yeah. You said Sark was going to be good at that position. Saban kind of got a little bit of the FU.
Yeah, he...
Because he left an Alabama situation where he coached in the national championship game as the offensive coordinator to go to take Shanahan's job with the Falcons.
Yeah, I think it's hard because I don't think Saban foresaw that Sark had a relationship with Dan Quinn. You see what I'm saying?
I was going to say, this doesn't happen to Nick Saban. Teams and other players and other coaches.
Yeah,
he doesn't have it happen to him.
He doesn't have it happen to him, but at the same time, everybody knows Nick is hard to work for. Nick is already hard to work for, especially from the offensive coordinator standpoint. And you got to remember, Lane and Sark were pretty good friends. So, and they aren't the same guy, but they're a lot of the same guy. You know what I mean? They like messing with women, and they like drinking. They drink, and that might not be how Nick likes to do it. But at the same time, every college coach wants to coach in the NFL because one thing is they're only coaching.
Well, there's not as many limitations either.
But not even just the limitations. They don't have to get on the road recruiting. They don't have to sit there and jack off a bunch of 18-year-olds and swear and tell them like, hey, this is the greatest place in the world and sell them on foolishness.
Now, when you say jack off, you mean just like play with them?
That's yes, of
mean.
Course.
Yes, okay.
You know what I mean? But like, I think that's you got to stroke all these guys' egos. And I think that's the biggest thing where a lot of these big time coaches.
And let's not kid ourselves though that it is a situation where there are limitations that coaches don't like. If a kid needs a lot of rehab, give him a lot of rehab. Don't limit how much time he can spend in the training room or the practice field or in the film room or if we need you to do a whole bunch of extra prep.
But it's 30-hour weeks, and you always know, I mean, it would have been a tough job. I think, to be honest, I would have liked to see him stay in Alabama. Well, I'm kind of glad because Florida State plays Alabama to open the season up in the new Mercedes-Benz dealership
in Atlanta.
So I'm actually
it's not just a dealership; it's a dome.
I mean, dome. My bad. Yeah. And I'm actually glad that Sark is not there. I'm glad they're kind of behind the eight ball right now. I'm not having an offensive coordinator because now somebody has to put an entirely new offense in. You know, it's one thing where you go from Lane to Sark; it's the same offense. Now you got to replace.
So you're telling me there's not a third in line that was already there?
No, for the first time, I think that's why Nick Saban had the dumbfounded look on his face, like I think he was truly caught off guard.
Yeah.
by this hiring of Sarkisian away from, and they probably gave him a deal. I mean, who knows? You know, a lot of people in the league don't like Nick. You know what I mean? A lot of guys don't like. So it might have been
a lot of people in the country. Don't
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. So it might have been not Sark, but it might have been Kyle Shanahan trying to stick it to the man and say, you know what? Or not Kyle Shanahan, but Dan Quinn. Like, I don't like Nick anyway. Let me give you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah. And look, and Quinn's not getting a slouch either. You talk about people that know and can recreate offensive systems in this day and age in football. And people will tell you, Steve Sarkisian knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. As long as he can keep the liquor under control, he knows what he's doing. And you know what?
But that's a concern now in professional football.
It's not a concern in professional football.
Why?
Because if he was doing that, what he was doing in professional football, it would have never been an issue. It would have never been an issue because half these coaches are alcoholics. Half of them.
Half the coaches in the NFL are alcoholics.
Half of them. But at the same time, it's not an issue because they're around a bunch of other grown men. So they're professional about it. Everybody comes. They had a long night of drinking. They come in. They go to sleep. They get in the steam room. They do whatever they have to do. Well, in college football, he had to be in front of all of these people all the time. The boosters. He go to an event where it's free-flowing liquor.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that in the NFL.
Faculty.
You know what I mean? Faculty, staff. You got to go in people's homes. You got to deal with other people's kids. That's why it became an issue. When you're around 64 other grown men, not including your head coach, not including the rest of your coaching and your staff, it's not going to be an issue. And I don't think anybody going to even care. If Sark is having a drink, a guy's going to be like, hey, Sark, pass me a beer. End of the day. If he's sitting there with Dan Quinn and drinking vodka tonic, he's going to be like, Sark, you got any more? Pour me one. They're not worried about how much drinking
he's
doing.
But the only thing is, if he's admittedly has a problem that he can't drink anymore, hopefully they're also going to police him, too.
But he just said that he said he had the problem because he's trying to get back into coaching. And you all know, just like Tiger had a sex issue, I have a problem. I need to lean on Buddha. It's the same thing. Is I have a problem. I've been drinking too much. All right, sorry, I need to go to rehab. That's the thing for everybody. Sorry, I got to go to rehab. I have a problem. Sorry, I have to go. I use the N-word. Sorry, I got to go to rehab. I have a problem. I use the B-word. Sorry, I got to go to rehab. I have a problem. I hit my wife. Sorry, I got to go to rehab. I have a problem. It's the same thing. Everybody uses that same excuse.
You use the N-word all the time.
Of course.
But Nick doesn't mind.
Yeah, because
his name is Nick for a reason.
But Nick is one of them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Nick is one of the N-words.
I mean, you just...
He's Nick.
You can't roll into the weekend just smooth and easy.
But I can, but Nick is from the Middle East, so he's one of us.
I'm not touching that, man. I'm going to get in trouble.
See, everyone is. And you always, and you set us up for it. You're supposed to look out for us. The same way you were willing to come out of a deep sleep to come to Nick's defense in Midtown, you need to look out for us, not set us up.
You throw sand in front of Nick, and then you got sand, Nick.
Oh, I know exactly what you were doing. I know exactly what you're saying.
What's up, Nick?
You know what Payne Stewart used to wear on the golf course, right?
Knickers.
Thank you. And on that note, we're going to tell you guys to have a great weekend. We appreciate you being a part of the show. Please tune in Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here every day on ESPN 97.5. The Blitz is next. Fred and AJ loading it up and ready to go.
I see you there. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Happy.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.